this is the conversation that we continue to have every day, every single day. It seems we're another day closer to things reopening. There isn't exactly a finish line in place for most sports, but it does feel palpable that we don't know if things are going to finish, but they are going to start back up at least, right?
Yeah. Well, look, I've been betting on that for a long time just because of the money involved. That's, you know, I was singing this song back in April saying, look, they're going to try because they have to try. All of these sports have to try because there's just too much money on the table and there's too much uncertainty beyond this summer. So they're going to give it a shot without fans because they don't really have a choice financially. None of these leagues do. But, you know, every week you would kind of felt this becoming more real, to the point where right now it's interesting in our business, you know, that like on the TV side of our business, we are the NHL rights holders. Obviously we have the Jays rights and we own the Jays. We would have half the NBA playoff rights. You just kind of feel the machine starting to move a little bit in the last few days. I think the reality, the kind of the inevitability of things starting up in the summer I don't think anybody's hedging their bets anymore. I think everybody is anticipating there were going to be games, and there are going to be a lot of games, and they're going to be in unusual circumstances and unusual places, and there are going to be kind of technical challenges in terms of how you broadcast them and how you turn them into good television. But everybody is getting ready now. So be prepared for the strangest sports summer of anyone's lifetime. In some ways it'll be awesome because everything's going to be happening at once. The details are still being, in terms of the sports themselves, they're still working stuff out in terms of, you know, health and safety and logistics and travel and hub cities and all of that. But, you know, barring a really bad turn in terms of public health, I think it's pretty clear what's coming, at least in terms of the NHL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball, MLS, at least in terms of a tournament in Orlando. CFL thing's that's a different discussion, and obviously that came up this week. But those other sports, they're all going to play this summer one way or another and play as long as they can. And, you know, part of the reason, Ryan, they're going to do it is because they're unsure about the fall.
Yeah,
they're reading the same stuff everybody else is about second waves and, you know, when the weather gets worse and potential second lockdown scenarios. And I think they want to get the games in. And then, you know, if they have to delay the start of the following season into December or January and hope that they get fans in the stands, I think they would take that trade-off right now.
I'm fascinated to see how it goes because you alluded to it there. It is going to be such a crowded sports television time. I mean, we're going to be talking about NBA playoffs, the Raptors trying to defend NHL playoffs at the same time, the CFL season getting started, the NFL ramping up, major golf tournaments are going to be rammed into a much smaller window than we've ever seen before, and on and on and on. I think everyone right now is saying, man, if we had sports, it'd be a ratings bonanza, but you can't be watching five things at once in August, can you?
No, well, I guess we'll see. You know, it'll be a challenge. There are a lot of platforms where you can push that content out, and it's not like people can go and sit and watch it in a bar right now. They're going to have to watch it from home. Again, that may change by the end of the summer. Who knows? But, you know, right now everybody's kind of starved for live action to the point where they'll watch just about anything that comes on. I think that where the outcome isn't already determined. But there are overlaps at other times of the year. You know, you have the NHL and NBA playoffs obviously overlap with baseball. We're used to that. But in the idea of multiple games every day, which is, I think, what we're talking about here, it's going to be a concentrated schedule. The hockey might start at 11 o'clock in the morning your time, you know, and it might not end until 2 o'clock in the morning. So that is going to be an interesting lifestyle. You know, I know they want us all to get outside and get some fresh air and some vitamin D and sunshine to keep healthy, but I guess you can watch it on your phone.
I hope your honey-do list
maybe that's the alternative, right? Yeah, yeah.
Make sure you clear the docket. I like, we could see all four major sports going at the same time. That would be zany. Not to mention that you know what the ratings do in this country when the Blue Jays are relevant, and when you turn a 162 game schedule into something around 80, they might be relevant.
Well, they should be, right? Like, I'm not saying they're going to, you know, well, who knows? Who knows who's going to win or what it's going to look like? But, yeah, shorter schedule shortens the odds, for sure. And, you know, expanded roster, you know, Nate Pearson on your opening day roster, it's, you know, suddenly the, you know, well, again, it's hard to, all the calculations we were making back in March don't really apply anymore. So a dash to the finish, you know, relative dash, still going to be 80 something games, but it, just think of teams that are in contention in July that fade down the stretch. Well, there's no stretch, you know, so it, and an expanded playoff format, a different playoff format that's going to probably go all the way into November for sure. Neutral site World Series, you know, and you're right. By the time we get to the fall, the NFL will be up and running. I think that's a guarantee that they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
The CFL thing, I'm still trying to, I just read Arash's story this morning about it, which on sportsnet.ca, which is worth reading if you're a, it's always worth reading Arash, but if you're a CFL fan, kind of, I know that they have, there's a doctor involved with this who is a team doctor for the Jays, also a team doctor for the Ottawa Redblacks. We've had him on the radio talking about testing and the things they can do. I'm just still trying to make the economics work for the end with the CFL, where, you know, you have to do all that stuff and you have to move players over the border and quarantine them and have camps and house that many people and still not have fans in the stands. Like, unless that big government check's coming, I still don't see how they could pay for this. But, you know, I hope they make it. I'd love to see them up and running on Labor Day.
Well, and I was just going to ask you, is that TV contract lucrative enough that you could break even without fans, or are there other creative ways that you could make it that way? Would you be able to reopen a TV contract if that property is even more valuable when people can't leave their homes? I mean, how do you see it playing out? Give us your thoughts.
Well, yeah, I don't think it is, right? I think if the TV contract was enough to carry it the way it is in some other sports, they would have been, I think that would have been the plan from day one. And they, you know, they've made it pretty clear. And I think Randy Ambrosio is telling the truth about that, that they need, that economically they can't really work, they can't really play without fans in the stands. The gate is too important to them. And all of the stuff that comes from the in-game experience is too important to them economically. You know, the TV is sort of a push with player salaries, you know, at least the players doesn't pay for training camp or guys on the injury list or flying guys in and out. You know, just the salary cap number and the TV number are roughly equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's half a season, I don't know, you know, how you figure that out. And reopening, I guess, you know, look, their TV partner is a partner in ownership of one of their teams.
Yep.
You know, that they want the content, but it's hard to see. I have a hard time making that math work, given the complications of moving guys across the border. They're talking about playing in potentially only in a couple of stadiums,
mm-hmm.
so playing maybe in Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, because the virus count's really low, and you would kind of keep everybody in the same area. You wouldn't have to travel as much, but boy, that's a lot of people too. You know, like football teams are not like hockey teams or baseball teams. Like there's a pretty big traveling squad that you would have to deal with, and. I hope it works. I think it's a long shot that they have any kind of season.
Now, that said, would there be a greater silver lining in anywhere on planet Earth than the entire CFL descending on Regina for a condensed season? My goodness, that's what people dream about in Regina, isn't it?
It is, yes. Now, I'm trying to remember how many hotels there are in downtown Regina.
That was the thing for the Heritage Classic. We were there in late October, early November, whatever it was, and it was that was the biggest issue. There was tickets available day of that people wanted to go, but there was nowhere to stay. Like, literally, the towns around Regina were sold out for hotels, and that was, again, the same stadium, but can you do teams, all that personnel? That would be the pinch point, wouldn't it?
It would be once you get past Moose Jaw, right? Like, Swift Current's a long way away. There's not many hotels in Swift either, right? Like, we're just kind of working in both directions here. I'm not sure. Yeah, in terms of the facility and in terms of people caring about it, it would be awesome. That's clearly what they're talking about, and I know what they're talking about in terms of this testing scenario, because I said there is a test apparently that costs about $45 a shot, serological test, a blood test. You test people coming in, you test them going out, you know, so it's reasonably inexpensive, but you have to test them every day, you know, because you let people into the bubble and let them out of the bubble. So logistically and financially complicated with rosters the size of CFL rosters, and economically probably still, even at that price, complicated for a league that, You know, the I think the NFL has estimated that they would have to do, what, 200,000 tests to get through a season?
Jeez.
Something like that. So CFL's not quite at that number, but it's, you know, like this, remember, this is a league that couldn't afford drug testing for a long time. The reason they didn't test for PEDs is because they didn't want to pay for it. So it's, they're running on a pretty fine margin. Now, if the government bails them out, I don't know, perhaps it's a different, that's a different conversation.
Stephen Brunt, our Friday regular, joining us on Boomer in the Morning here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Stephen, I see you got a chat with the Easton Assassin.
Yes, sir. Yeah, this is kind of random, but and it's not.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, where did this come about, and what can people expect on your Zoom chat? That what it'll be a Sportsnet YouTube channel later today?
Yeah, I think it'll be on all of those various Sportsnet platforms, the social platforms, and I assume Sportsnet.ca. It's supposed to turn up at some point this morning. I did it late yesterday. Yeah, the origins of it are mysterious, but I was asked, and I love Larry. Like, I've talked to Larry a million times, and he's a hoot. You know, going back to, you know, I was at the first home Spinks fight, the only time I actually saw him. Well, I saw him get knocked out by Mike Tyson, too, late in his career. But kind of prime Larry Holmes. I saw him, you know, in the 80s, and I interviewed him for the Ali, Facing Ali for the book, and he's always a great interview, like, because he's forthright, you know, and so, yeah, I talked to him yesterday. He's in Easton. He's looking great. What we mostly talked about was this alleged Mike Tyson comeback. I know people are buzzing about it a little bit because of that video of him hitting the pads and looking so great. The idea of Tyson Holyfield 3, you know.
Yeah, Jay sent us the photo of that poster that's been out there on social media, and I was like, oh, man,
yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. But see, I didn't realize there is also a conversation about Holmes Cooney, too, that – he and Jerry Cooney are talking about it. And you know, like Cooney fought Foreman. That was Geezers at Caesars, but that was like 30 years ago, right?
Jeez.
Like, it's so. And look, everybody's looking for a payday, I guess. But you know, like, you know, Larry fought after 50, right? He did his last fight. I think he was 50 or 51. So you know, he does have experience of getting in the ring as a 50 something year old. He's now talking about getting in the ring as a 70-year-old, so that's a little different. He's a fun guy to talk to. He is in Easton still. He owns half of downtown Easton, PA. For what it's talk about commercial real estate, I'm not sure what it's worth, but he owns it. He's one of those guys who I have always had kind of great sympathy, empathy for the guy because. You know, he came after Ali. He had that horrible fight where should have been Ali's last fight, but, you know, where he finished him off essentially in that awful fight where Ali couldn't compete at all. He was never really loved because of that, because of when he arrived. But he's somebody who, if you take primo, you know, prime Larry Holmes and drop him at any point in boxing history, he would have been a dominant guy. And he would have given anybody in history trouble. Like anybody, you know, it's including the young Ali, including Joe Louis, including, you know, like he got knocked out by Tyson, but that was, again, late Larry Holmes. You know, that wasn't Larry with that amazing jab. He's a great fighter and a guy who's just kind of doomed by history to be a little bit forgotten. So I'm a big Larry guy, and it was fun talking to him again. It's, you know, look, I know Zoom is imperfect, but we're all getting used to it. And, yeah, so we kicked it around for a bit. And so that will show up somewhere on some I'm sure people now know how to find the Sportsnet YouTube channel or find us on Facebook or find us on .ca because that's where we live now.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned going back to work maybe next week or whatever the case may be. This was this your first Zoom in terms of a long form like that? And I guess, do you have anything kind of planned here in the near future you can share with us?
I know I did one with Cito early when we were replaying some vintage Jay stuff. I did one with Cito Gaston,
right,
which was a hoot. I'm starting to we are edging towards actual television. Let's put it that way, towards real television, not produced in people's attics on their laptops. So we're working on some stuff for what we hope will be the grand reopening of sport in in late June, early July, whenever it happens. That's kind of, that's one of the projects I'm involved in right now, early days, because look, logistically, it's still tricky, right? Going out to shoot stuff is hard. Mm-hmm. You gotta be really careful. Editing and production, we're still not really up and running yet television wise, but, it's coming. Like, do you think anybody's ever going to use Zoom again after this? Like, Zoom's great. It's simple. It works. But do you think we'll all be having virtual cocktail parties like a year from now? I hope not.
I'd rather have a real one.
Yeah, exactly. I want humans, you know? It's time for human contact. I don't think we're completely ready to live completely virtual lives. I think that's maybe one thing we've learned as well.
Yeah, that's true. And, we'll see what happens going forward. But, hey, and you can always, I know that's the one thing for a lot of some camera guys here that, do some work with TSN and Sportsnet. That's the big thing. It's like, well, we can still shoot a stand-up from far away enough. At least let's make the television look somewhat respectable. So I think we're all kind of slowly getting there and frustrated by the way things are right now.
Yeah, but it's coming. Look, I choose to be optimistic. And you know, if you want to be pessimistic, every morning you can wake up and have somebody tell you, no, it's actually worse than you think. Or, you know, yes, there's a little bit of a break now, but just wait. It's going to, or life will never be the same. There's a lot of those, a lot of tall foreheads out there saying that. And maybe they're right, but I'm not sure you can live that way, waiting for the 16-ton weight to drop out of the sky. You know, I'm choosing to kind of find normal life where you can find it and enjoy what you can enjoy and look forward to, you know, rather than saying, oh, well, that won't be like, that's not going to be the real Stanley Cup. I'm in, man. Let's have a tournament. Let's revive the Chicago Blackhawks and Montreal Canadiens. Let's bring them back from the dead. Let's see what a bunch of healthy teams going into the playoffs look like. It's hockey. It'll be hockey in August, but I'm kind of intrigued by it. Might as well be, right? Like, would you rather, you know, continue to work our way through the archives of classic and less classic games?
I was about to say, you know, Pinder had that joke about watching the high stick game with Gilmore one more time, I'm going to lose my ass.
Yes.
It's fun to watch old games. It's fun for it was fun for the first 2 weeks, and now it's like, okay, well, we get it. We can only watch things that we know how it ends so long, you know, for so many times. So, and it seems, you know, last one for me, it seems like the MJ Last Dance is now, mm-hmm. You know, everyone's going to make a doc. Here's Tom Brady. You know, next we're going to have somebody else make a 10-parter. Everyone, all these mediocre athletes, not saying Tom Brady and MJ are obviously not mediocre, but you're going to have all these guys saying, I want my 10-parter. Where's mine?
Well, I hope they do. Look, I'm all for sports docs. You know, look, as someone who gets to make them every once in a while, I hope everybody now says, boy, we love documentary content. Let's produce more of it. But you know, the main thing about the MJ one was, and again, this tells you something about what sports is and what it isn't. You know, like, I know we like the distraction of the game and, you know, who wins and who loses, the rooting interest, all that stuff's really important. But the main thing is to have, you know, a talking point, right? It's the conversation around sport. Maybe, you know, that's why we're doing sports radio, but the conversation around sport is so much a part of it. And, you know, the way that thing was revealed 2 episodes a week and the way, and again, in a vacuum, it became such a talking point that you could strike up a conversation with somebody. And that's one of the things I think we miss right now, right? About, you can't, the game last night is not a talking point because there wasn't a game last night, or, you know, will they make the playoffs, or what about that matchup, or, you know, free agency's coming. What do you think is going to happen? All of those conversations around sport. And I, you know, so if that switch flips in the next few weeks, I think that'll be tremendous in this, among other things, to kind of give us a sense of a return to the ordinariness of life. You know, what the day to day stuff, not the life and death and life will never be the same conversation, but just the stuff that fills our days normally. I am ready for it.
You spent a lot of the baseball offseason getting content to surround the Jays mm-hmm. season, that massive property that our bosses own and I think have done a great job with. What's on tap for this season? And refresh my memory. I do recall chatting with you in Dunedin that you did have something teed up that the pandemic may have wiped out that you've been working on for a while, or do you want to curse that?
Well, yeah, we've got some stuff. We've got a really nice Kevin Biggio piece coming that was going to be a Mother's Day piece because it's mostly about his mom, Patty, that we shot with him in Houston. That'll show up at some point. And we've got a great Nate Pearson piece that is in, you know, not edited, not ready to go, but that we have shot most of. And that will, you know, so those are the two. You know, they're not, they will be kind of long form features, not full kind of docs. But, you know, it's going to be like, well, look, one of the challenges of this baseball season, for instance, is if the Jays play exclusively in Florida, which, you know, or their home base is Florida, and they play exclusively in the United States, it's going to be hard to create content around them this year. You know, number one, because those of us in Canada can't cross the border right now. I'm not sure when we're going to be able to. And again, access to athletes is going to be really hard.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to allow us to wander around their houses like they have in the last little while. So those two pieces are coming. I think there's probably some other, I know there's some other stuff that's been shot by other people. So we will have some, yeah, we'll have some Jays content ready to go. We'll have some hockey content ready to go for the playoffs. And then we'll try and figure out a way to do it as in this slightly more distant world as the season progresses. So we'll figure it out. The stories will still be told one way or another.
Great chatting. Enjoy the weekend, Stephen.
All right. Enjoy the weekend, guys.